Welcome to TK O-Time with Karen and Tom. How are you doing this morning, Tom?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
I am doing mighty fine.
Mighty fine. Okay. And Karen speak, that means that she wishes she was doing better on a beach, but that's okay. So she's very much into vitamin C and worshiping the sun and that type of thing. But for today, we're in beautiful downtown Cincinnati, Ohio. And today we're going to be talking to Karen about the Empty Wives Club.
Yes.
So, Karen, tell me why you invented that phrase.
Because I used to be a member without really even realizing it.
And I want everybody to hear that she said used to be, which means that we've had a revelation and a catharsis. This is cool. So please, tell me how that happened.
Well, I guess it all started when I realized that I had been in an empty marriage for a long time, but I didn't realize that until, I didn't come up with the Empty Wives Club until I was going through my divorce and was separated and moved into a little blue house.
There you go.
Which was my transition home, and I did a lot of writing and a lot of thinking and realized that I'm not the only member of the Empty Wives Club, that there are probably millions of women that are part of the club without even realizing it.
Yes, they are. And in my experience and working with a lot of women, most of them don't have a voice. Most of them don't understand that there is something better, there is something that they should be looking for. And again, in my humble opinion, they have kind of settled for where they are. In their defense, that really might be the best they can do. But if you have an opportunity or you have a choice, you made the choice, and how's that been working for you?
It was one of the best decisions I ever made.
Okay.
For many reasons. Self-realization, realizing the situation, and just what my marriage really was. It was very, very empty. It was verbally and emotionally abusive.
That's the venom thing that you've come up with, right?
Yes,
yeah,
venom.
We'll be talking a lot more about that later, so
yes.
Please continue.
And, you know, I realized when I came up with the term Empty Wives Club, it was because, you know, me being a member of it, the reality of it is that I was so empty inside and so empty in my marriage that I was looking for outside things to fill the void.
Right.
Whether it be the big house on the hill, or material things, or fine furniture, clothes, or whatever it was, I was just trying to fill that void inside of me. I was walking around so empty and just felt like a shell of a person. And like I said, I didn't really realize the magnitude of it until I was going through my divorce.
And why do you think that is? Were you just in denial? I mean, is that even the right term to be used for this?
I was unaware. So I don't know if denial is the right word. I didn't realize that I was in a verbally and emotionally abusive marriage until I was 42 years old.
Okay.
I never even knew it existed. I never knew, like I knew about bullying and stuff like that, but one day I just happened to Google verbal and emotional abuse, and all this stuff came up, and I'm reading it and reading it and saying, oh my gosh, did somebody walk around and record my entire marriage? Because this is exactly it. And I presented it to my husband at the time and asked him to read over it, and he chose not to. And I knew at that point that I had to get out. And I had always told myself that if I ever found myself in an abusive relationship, that I was gone. And so that, you know, was the start of my awareness of the verbal and emotional abuse and what I was going through. And then, you know, having the realization then that how empty I was inside and just realizing what I was trying to do, fill that void. And really all I wanted was my husband to love me, you know, and actually really care about me. And,
right.
You know, unfortunately it didn't work out.
There's a couple of passages in the Bible about men and women and being married, and one of the very strict things it does say in there is for husbands to love their wives and for wives to respect their husbands, and it's because men and women are different. But as you were saying, you didn't feel as though the love, the actual feeling, the emotional high that you should be getting from being a loved woman by the man that you decided to spend your life with, was draining emotionally, physically, mentally, very, very draining. Again, back when I used to work with abused women and children in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the common theme that I would hear from most of these women, first off, they made a lot of excuses for their abuser. He's not really a bad guy until he's been drinking, that type of thing, which I couldn't understand then, I still don't understand now. But the awareness and the talking to them and showing them something better is out there. You should give this some real strong thought. You obviously got out. I wouldn't use the word escape because this was a positive thing that you mm-hmm. did, not a negative thing.
Right.
Okay. So the realization is you were in your little blue house doing all your writing, which is, again, going to be another subject of another podcast. Did the writing help you?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. It was very good therapy because there were times when my kids were with their father and I knew that I wasn't going to be interrupted. And so I would just sit and write and write and write, and anything that came to mind or any feeling. And there were plenty of Friday and Saturday nights where I would just sit there by myself and have some wine and just let it come out. And it was very therapeutic. The Little Blue House was the transition house, but it was also probably the best therapy that I could have ever had. And it led me to a lot of realizations and about myself, about my situation, about my past, you know, and relationships right. with, you know, my father and growing up, my childhood, my siblings, and realizing that the verbal and emotional abuse actually started way back then.
Okay.
So the majority of my life, I've experienced, you know, the verbal and emotional abuse without even really realizing it.
Would you use the term you got comfortable dealing with it because that's what you thought was the norm?
Yes. Okay. I was used to walking on eggshells. I was used to being someone's punching bag, you know, not physically.
Emotional punching bag.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we all know that, you know, when you do research on anything like this, that they typically say that, you know, the emotional abuse can be so much worse than physical abuse because the bruises on the outside go away, but the bruises on the inside, they stay.
Right.
And it's a process to work through those. And, you know, it also made me realize the power of our words that we use with ourselves and that we use with others. I had a, you know, great realization of the internal dialogue that I was using with myself. If there wasn't someone there to beat me up, then I did it to myself. I would beat myself up. You're stupid. I can't believe you did that. What an asshole. Really? You know, like I can't. So I would constantly replay those tapes in my mind of what people have either said or maybe what I interpreted. You know, what their words were, maybe I interpreted them.
Right.
Not the way that they intended, but the way that my mind processed, because I was so used to being beat up that it was just normal. Yeah, it became my normal.
Okay. What you're talking about are positive and negative emotions. And we all, and I'll apologize to my audience because I want to make you feel bad. We all have had people in our lives that we loved or meant a lot to us, or family or teacher or something like that, that told us that the world would be a better place if you were dead. It would be a nobody loves you, you know, who do you think you are, that kind of thing. And thinking about that causes a negative emotion, and you just felt it very, very hard, usually in the center of your chest. Feels kind of like a sucking chest wound.
Right.
So let's quit being negative. The positive. You've also had that same group of people, ones you love, your family, teachers, friends, that have told you that the only reason the sun comes up is because you're in the earth. Thank you so much for being my friend. And you can remember those times, but you didn't just feel it. So one of the things I try to get people to understand is how to turn a negative emotion, which never goes away, into a positive emotion. Because when you do that, the pain of the memory stops. And the way you do that is by, what did you learn from that? You and I have had that discussion many times. And so I'll ask you right now, in talking about this, you weren't shaking like you have in the past. So you have learned a lot of things from this. So what would you like to tell our listening audience out here about what you learned?
Wow, what I've learned. I've learned so many things. Take the step. Make the change. You don't have to stay where you are. You talked about positive, negative, and I want to hit on that very quickly because, I believe in post-traumatic growth,
right?
Growing from traumatic events.
Right.
And that takes you right back to, what did you learn from it? And I learned about the power of my words that I use with myself. I realized what I will tolerate, what I won't tolerate. I've learned to set boundaries. There are so many things, and it's just there's not just one thing that I could say this is what I've learned. It's been a combination of really everything, and a realization that I have control. I have the power of my words that I use with myself.
Okay.
And I have the power to choose the people that come into my life and the words that they use with me.
Going with that, what you're telling me is the way that you used to beat yourself up has stopped.
Yes.
Okay. But it's a process.
Absolutely.
This isn't a switch. This isn't something you can just sort of decide to do and dang, there you go.
No, not at all. It's, it's been 5 years and I continue to work on myself every single day. Zig Ziglar, I believe, has a quote that says, motivation, some people say motivation doesn't last or something or other, and he's like, well, neither does bathing. That's why you have to do it every day.
That is correct. And that is a Zig Ziglar quote.
Yeah.
We'll be using a lot of Zig Ziglar's quotes.
Oh, lots of quotes.
Yeah,
for sure.
In this thing, believe me. Okay, well, for those that are listening right now, we've kind of introduced a lot of the things that Karen and I are going to be talking about here. Other things we're going to be talking about, I've written a book about Ladies, You Can Do This, and it's Women in Business. Karen has written a book about emotional abuse and a few other things, so we'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking to guest folks that are out there that we want to interview, that we know, or that we just want to talk to about different things. We also are a sponsor of Brave Choices. Brave Choices is an organization here in Cincinnati that is trying to make a very positive dent into the heroin problem that we have. And they're being very successful. That's Beth Bullock, and we'll be doing an interview with her. So, Karen, you got any final words here?
No. I appreciate, the time that we have together and us sharing this with our audience. I do want to give a shout out to Brewetta Tea, who is our sponsor.
Yes, indeed.
And you will all hear more about Brewetta Tea in further podcasts.
It is, when I first tried it, I wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but it is probably one of the better hot teas, and you can do it cold too, that I think I've ever had. And it's so easy to make and so easy to use. It's ideal for your office.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we will highlight some things about Brewetta Tea in the future. And we will also, we have some great topics that we're going to be talking about, and look forward to the next podcast.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for TKO, Technical Knockout, our Tom and Karen Holmes, and going to know what you want to look at this as. And we'll look forward to sharing some time with you again. So, Karen, you got anything else?
Just have an awesome day. Kick-ass day. Rock and roll.
There you go. Same here. So, thank you for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.